Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders!
Vault Dwellers.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Tom or Robots. We've got our patrons here, and we have a really fun episode because this is our last patron chat. Maybe I can try that again. This is our last patron chat until the Fallout TV show comes out, which means that this is our last chance to talk as a community about what our expectations are and our predictions for the show. So what I've done today is I've put together a list of questions. We have a spreadsheet that I've shared to all of our patrons here. And there's some questions, there's some answers, and they all voted on their answers. And we're going to find out which things they voted on and why. And then next month we can follow up on this and we can see who got the most of these answers correct. Who was actually able to predict what was going to actually happen in the TV show? So welcome back to the show. We have a fun cast of characters here with me today. I'm going to read through everybody's names and then you're going to unmute and you're going to make the sound of a Pip-Boy. Here we go. We've got Nova, Pumpkin, Dean, Darth Odin, Silas, Germinator, Lil Green, St. Jube, I don't know how to pronounce, I'm still pronouncing that badly, I'm sure. AK Spartan and Maverick are on the count of three. Make your Pip-Boy sounds. Here we go. One, two, three. It's pretty good. Pretty good. I felt like I was playing the game. It was great. Welcome everybody. So we're going to go through all 10 questions and we're going to find out what you each voted on. And we're going to discuss this. The first question on the list, let's just get right into it. The first question on the list, dog meat is in the show. We've seen pictures of dog meat. We've seen video of dog meat. Dog meat shows up. Dog meat looks like he's running around with the ghoul. Will dog meat die? I've seen images. There's like in the background, it looks like he's wounded. That was our first question. And across the board, every single person, every single patron says no. So if dog meat dies, you're all going to miss out on this one. You're not getting any points on this one. All right, so let's open this up. Why do you think dog meat's not going to die?
Best boys don't die.
Best boys don't die.
Guys, I'm fighting somebody.
Pumpkin's like, I'm going to have to fight somebody if he dies. You need to throw fists.
Pumpkin's got to take a road trip all the way to all the way to Hollywood just to simply go into the studio and, well,
he's going to find the writer.
The writer and slap him across the face with an open palm.
That's for dog meat.
He's going to get a power fist. You go,
whoa, power fist.
Straight into the desk.
Power fist. Silas.
Keep it friendly here. Straight to the desk.
All right. I see Silas is unmuted too. Silas, why isn't dog meat going to die?
I think that dog meat won't die because, for those who aren't necessarily watching the Fallout show to enjoy the Fallout show, they're just watching it with like their partner or whatever, the dog is obviously going to be a fan favorite. And if they kill off a dog in season one, you're going to lose a whole subsect of the viewership there.
It's just too much for the viewers. You think that'll be too much. St. Jeob has a perspective on this as well. What do you think?
No, I will write many even more strongly written angry letters to Todd Howard if they decide to kill that dog off, more so than I already do. No, I just don't think that you can't kill a dog off like that. That's, you know, it's not, this isn't John Wick, you know?
Yeah.
Although that would make for a very compelling reason. That's why she's out, you know, that becomes her new mission to avenge the dog.
Maybe. I mean, I can see plot reasons for wanting to do it, but I can also see reasons why that might be contentious. And so they might not want to piss off the audience, that kind of thing.
We don't need an I am legend situation.
I am legend situation. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Dean, you're still muted. You want to chime in?
It's probably just my damn mic.
There you go. Yeah. Now we can hear you.
Good. It looks like they give dog. Am I wrong? Did they give like maybe Dogmeat an origin story? There's a bit where he's been shot at by a turret, and I don't recognize who he's running away with, and I'm like,
yeah, maybe that's in the past. Maybe that is an origin story. That's a good question. That would be a good question to put on the quiz, but we don't have that one. But you think Dogmeat will definitely survive?
Oh yeah, no. Oh, you can't kill a dog.
All right. All right. Germinator, you're unmuted. Do you want to chime in on this one?
Yeah. Well, you better not die. Otherwise, I'm going to have to take a flight to over to the States and bring some of my nice little Australian pets over.
Your Australian pets?
Which I'm sure Todd Howard will appreciate.
I mean, that a lot of the
new terrors in game.
Yeah, a lot of the creatures in Australia do seem like they belong in the wasteland. So that kind of tracks, you know, big spiders and things. All right, let's move on to the next question, because that one you guys were unanimous. So if it happens, then you're not getting any points for that one. This one, you're mostly unanimous. So along similar lines, we've got the main characters. We've got Lucy, we've got Maximus, and we have the ghoul. Will the ghoul die? And I ask this question because we do see there are scenes with the ghoul, but then there are a number of scenes we see with just Lucy and Maximus, as if like the three of them don't become a group and travel together, or he's not there for some reason. We also see scenes where he pulls a gun and he's fighting somebody in power armor, probably Maximus. We don't really know. There's a chance that maybe he doesn't survive. Maybe he's an initial character that shows up to reveal things about the wasteland, and then somehow he doesn't make it. Do you think he's going to die? And according to this, most of you said no. Maverick said yes. Maverick, can you explain why you think the ghoul will die? Are you still there? I know sometimes. Oh, here you go. I see you unmuting.
Well, hello.
Hey.
Hello, my gentleman.
Hello, gentle Maverick. Maverick, why do you think the ghoul's going to die?
Well, I think, to be honest, in the beginning, I think it's more going to be an ending thing where, if you notice his daughter, he's going to give up his life, treat her as a daughter figure.
Like he's Lucy. Lucy will be like a daughter to him, and he's going to sacrifice himself to save her?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, yeah. That's an interesting idea. That's a cool idea. We also have... Go ahead. Did you want to add more to it?
Yeah, and it's Walter Goggins. You expect the unexpected from him.
Walton Goggins. Yeah, that's true.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's true.
Yeah, I made that mistake a few episodes ago, and someone definitely corrected me on that. All right, but Nova here says other. Not yes, not no, does not die, does not die. Other? What does that mean, Nova?
I feel like he is going to be abducted by the big bad.
Oh.
And so he's going to be kind of inspiration for them to, for Max and, was it Lucy, right?
Lucy and Maximus, yeah.
Yeah, Lucy and Maximus. I feel like he might be the inspiration for them to go out farther into the wasteland. They find him in an enclave experiment or something like that.
Oh.
Or maybe something else. I don't know. Like, I just feel like he is... From what I've seen, I feel like he's not going to be in the majority of the show, but he's going to be there at the beginning. He's going to be there at the end, and we don't see him in the middle, though.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he's kind of, it's left unknown, yeah, right? Like maybe he disappears. Is he still alive? We don't really know. So it's kind of an other in that sense.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
I don't know. I just feel like he's going to be something is mysterious is going to happen to him, and we don't hear from him for a while.
Yeah, that tracks. That could happen. All right, so most of you said no. Who wants to talk about that option? Why not? Pumpkin? I see pumpkins. I saw pumpkin first. Pumpkin?
So I don't see him dying, and I don't see him like sticking with the main character. I know I said like I know he's not going to die. I know I said that, but I'm not going to put other on. I see him being like kind of like a Stewie Griffin kind of situation where it's like a side story.
Okay. So your Family Guy reference. How's that novel coming along, Brian? Mm-hmm.
Stewie and Brian storyline, but then right. The main storyline.
Right. There's the Peter storyline, but then there's the Stewie storyline on the side. Okay, but you definitely think he's going to survive. All right, Saint Jiub. I'm just going to butcher that name over and over again.
Jiub. It's from Morrowind.
Okay. A lot of those names I don't remember how to pronounce either. That makes sense. Okay.
No worries. No, I could definitely see like a fake out kind of situation where maybe he disappears at some point during the story where the audience may be made to believe or they get separated a la like, you know, the Fellowship of the Ring style. Mm-hmm. Something like that. But I don't see him being completely written out of the story, such as he's dead. They might think he is or something along those lines, but they won't write him out completely. That'd just be very anticlimactic.
Got it. All right. Interesting. I feel like a lot of us are on the same page with that. Silas, did you want to say something?
Darth was first.
Oh, Darth. Go ahead.
So from what I understand, he's supposed to be a very charismatic character. You can't kill off the guy with like max charisma.
Yeah. Okay. Max charisma keeps him safe because the audience will like him. Is that the concept?
That would be, I think the audience will like him just like Hancock in Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good connection there, I think. Ghoul character with a lot of charisma, dangerous, but, you know, grabs your heart in some way, that kind of thing. Yeah, I could see that. All right, Silas, did you want to chime in too?
Yeah, I think he won't die because... I mean, A, he's not wearing a red vest, so he's obviously going to stay.
He's not a red shirt. Got it.
No, he's not a red shirt. And two, I didn't consider, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Maverick saying yes. I didn't consider the whole sacrificing thing, and I can see that point of view. But I think, once again, like Dog Meat, they won't because there's a very large community of the Fallout fans who have a soft spot for roguelike ghoul characters. Mm-hmm. And that would be a very, very good way to quickly, once again, decrease your
to make those people upset
appeal.
Yeah,
to those people.
Right. Yeah, that, I get it. That makes sense. All right. So those are some interesting points. We got to keep moving in order to get through all these for the episode. So let's move on to question three. There is a lot of diversity in this one. There's a lot. We know that Lucy is out there in the wasteland. She leaves the vault for some reason. There's some sort of MacGuffin, right? Some reason to go look for a thing or a person or whatever. That's why she left. What exactly is she looking for in the wasteland? We have a variety of answers here. We have some votes for a Gek. We have votes for a water chip, which would be obviously a, you know, very Fallout thing to go look for. The Gek also. Some sort of cure for something. Her father is on the list. I don't know if maybe there's like some sort of secret plot for maybe her actual father. Maybe the person in the vault really isn't her father, but she's looking for a father. Same kind of concept of like your father leaves the vault, maybe you have to go find him, something like that, like Fallout 3. Nobody voted for that one though. A person other than her father, and then there's other. Let's get into some of the details here, because the only person who voted for a person other than her father is Spartan, aka Spartan. Why did you pick a person other than her father? What are you thinking?
I just was thinking that, I mean, I definitely think the father thing is possible, but with the fact that there's going to be like seemingly different kind of main characters with different factions all working together, that there's a chance that there's maybe somebody that we don't really even know about that's involved that she has to find in connection with everything else going on from some of the other characters.
Okay. Got it. All right. Now we have some people voting for Gek. Let's see. Darth Odin and Germinator. Do either of you want to chime in about the Gek? Any reason why you specifically picked Gek? Germinator, do you want to chime in? Oh, sorry. Darth was ready. I'm sorry. Darth, you go first. My eyes were going back and forth.
The only reason why I picked Gek is because it's, you know, you got, was it Fallout 1 where you had to find the Gek?
Well, one had to do with the water chip. I think two, there was the Gek was more of an important.
Was it two that was the Gek?
I'm pretty sure.
And I think three had the Gek too.
Fallout 3 definitely had a Gek also. Yeah, it's an item that shows up in multiple Fallouts, or it's a concept that they have this Garden of Eden creation kit. But there's a lot more, I believe, in two that was about that, and then it shows up in three as well. Yeah.
Yeah, one was water chip. Two was finding the Gek to revitalize whatever the tribal town was.
Shady Sands, was it?
No.
No, it was the other town.
Arroyo.
Arroyo, yeah.
Arroyo, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Three was, I need to find Father, need to find the Gek, need to create Project Purity, need to destroy the Enclave.
Right. So, all right. So, Odin, you're thinking same kind of lines of those, as those. They're gonna need the Gek for some reason?
Yeah.
Okay. Germinator, do you want to add anything to the Gek concept?
I think it's going to be a bit of a wild goose chase to find the Gek, but that'll be her first main goal, I reckon.
Okay, like something goes on in the vault and the Gek would solve it, so that's why she's sent out.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. All right, let's see. We also have two votes for a water chip, Maverick and Nova. Either of you want to chime in about that?
Yeah, I feel like the story writers probably just may have did the minimal amount of research for Fallout, and so they just took the first thing they saw, which is Fallout started with a water chip. Mm-hmm. Because it is a concept that I think a lot of, you know, people who are fans of Fallout will know right off the bat. And because they looked at the Wikipedia or Nukipedia and said, okay, Fallout 1 started with a water chip. We're going with a water chip.
Yeah, that could be a good explanation because, you know, sometimes people just do a certain amount of research and then they're just like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's use that. So
yeah. Well, they're probably using writers who aren't very enthralled with the Fallout universe. They're good writers. They just don't know the universe very well. So they just looked at Nukipedia and said, well, this is what we did one of the games. So we're going to do it as well.
Yeah. You know, I have to wonder about how that actually works or if anybody who from Bethesda Studios actually sat in with the writers and contributed and how they actually did that. That'd be really cool to see like a behind the scenes about how they write it later on.
Yeah. Into the vault. That's what they should call the behind the scenes
into
thing.
Into the vault. Yeah. So we also have two, Silas and Dean voting for...
Guys, I wanted to get my two
Maverick,
cents
go. Maverick, jump in. What do you think?
Yeah. So if you notice in the trailer, in both trailers, there's a lot of fighting. I feel like there has to be something in the water.
That's causing so the fighting?
That's causing the frogs to turn gay?
Frogs gay. No. You know, when they're out and they're picnic and everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, just something happens, and that's what made me to believe, oh, need to change. There's something wrong with the water system in the vault, because there's always something wrong with the vault.
Right. So you think that there's something wrong with the water in the vault, which leads to the problems and the chaos that we see in the trailer in the vault.
Exactly.
And that has to do with they need a new water chip.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see. We've got some sort of cure. Silas and Dean, either of you want to chime in about that one? You think there's Dean?
Yeah, but in fairness, I did tie it in mostly to water chip and also finding someone other than our father.
Uh-huh. So a few different things are going on here.
So it looks like something's in the water. Driving the vault dwellers kind of mad and end up killing each other. But then it's very chill when she leaves in the first trailer. So I'm like, maybe it's something you got to head out there, find that doctor. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what, like, Walton Goggins, a ghoul, takes him as a bounty. Maybe that's why they're after him in general. So maybe they are after this one dude that's like, oh, we need you to fix this nonsense in our vault.
Yeah, like he has the cure. He's a doctor and he has the research or whatever in order to deliver the cure. Yeah. Or maybe gets injected with it. And that's why they have what looks like a head in a bag. Maybe it's his head.
There's a scene. I'm pretty sure he's the dude that has dog meat. So he looks like the guy also in like a science elf code and stuff. And uh-huh. I'm like, look, that's enough. That's enough things to throw into one character to be like, you're now our MacGuffin also.
Right.
Yeah. Get you back. I talk too much. I don't.
No, that's good. That's an interesting take. Who knows? Maybe that's what's going to happen. Silas, did you want to chime in on that one also?
Yeah, I'll chime in real quick. I think that it's a cure because there's obviously the scene in both trailers of the people in the vault fighting amongst each other. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's maybe one or two people have gone crazy and started fighting. And so she's sent out to try to find a cure. And while she's out, then that scene happens where they're all infighting and it just, you know, all accelerated there at the end. Oh. And then there's that scene in the first teaser trailer where it looked like her dad was in a big blue room, and maybe he locked himself in there so that he wouldn't get part of the disease, because Vault-Tec likes to do experiments.
It's like a quarantine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Who knows? Maybe that stuff is how it's going to play out. Also, we have a bunch of others. Saint Pumpkin and Lil Green chose Other. Lil Green, you haven't chimed in too much yet. What do you think about Other? What are you thinking?
So my thinking was, like, hoping Todd Howard had enough, like, pull on this, he would pull, like, do something different. Because we've seen the Gek, we've seen the Water Chip, we've seen Finding Family. Finding a cure, like, just doesn't seem like, I mean, I know, like, you know, Vault-Tec does, like, all these tests and stuff like that, but I don't think like that's, like, a theme that we'd be going towards in my eyes. I would like to just see something a little bit more tangible for, like, non-Fallout fans to wrap their heads around. So, mm-hmm. which is, I feel like a lot of this show is going to be, like, kind of, like, gearing towards, because we're, like, a small portion of what they're trying to get people to watch. So it's just like, I would like to just see something different, but also, like, it'd be kind of annoying for us as fans to be watching them beat a dead horse. It's like, oh, we're just getting another Gek. Oh, we're just finding our father. Oh, we're, you know, just getting something we've already seen.
Right, but you don't know what that is. You don't have any...
I don't know how they're trying to gear the show in general. Like, I'm trying to go into the show, like, as, like, ill-informed as possible. Like, I've stopped watching all the trailers.
Right, no spoilers for Lil Green.
I got enough excitement. I could wait until next week to start watching the show and really get and, like, watch it, like, fresh and not be thinking about, oh, this is when this happens, or this is from that trailer. It's like, no. I'm just going to be like, no, I want to just watch this as fresh as possible.
Got it. Yeah, so. makes sense. Now, we got to move. We got to keep moving through these. But I know Saint and Pumpkin both put Other. Do either of you have an idea of what the other thing might be? Like, what is it, aside from these things, what is she going out in the wasteland looking for?
I do believe that there was infighting, but I think it's more of the fact of they haven't been outside in 200 years and they want to get out.
Oh, so you think there's like a rebellion?
And so she ends up and leaving it, because, like, in when you see the part of the trailer where she's leaving the vault, she's kind of almost running, almost.
Okay, so it's like there's a rebellion and she's fleeing the vault.
Yeah,
that's the reason she leaves. Interesting. Okay, Saint, what about you?
Pretty much the same thing. I think it's something that she was either it's something either going on there. Like, I think everyone wanted to leave, or that. Maybe something on the outside, whether it might be is like drawing her out. I think a big part is Lucy wants to leave, though. That's just my personal prediction. I have nothing to back that up.
Okay. All right. Hey, you might be right. This is fun because we just throw stuff up against the wall and, you know, some of these are actually going to be right. So that's kind of cool. All right. Let's move on to question four. Will we find out what happens to Caesar's Legion or Kaiser's Legion? We're over on the West Coast. So this is after the events of Fallout New Vegas. Are we going to find out what happened to the Legion? Are they going to show up? Are they whatever? And the answers are either yes or no. And it's pretty split. We have Pumpkin, Odin, Spartan, Maverick, Dean, and Germinator saying, yes, we will find out what happened to the Legion. And then we also have Saint Jiube, Lil Green, Silas, and Nova saying no. No, we will not. I think the yes is pretty clear. The no... I'm a little bit more curious about, because if we don't, then either they're not involved at all, they don't show up in the story, or there's some reason why it's just not talked about. Who has any thoughts on this? What do you guys think about the Legion?
I have an idea.
Yeah, go ahead, Nova.
I think that they're trying to maybe have kind of a narrow field of focus for the actual plot and story of the TV show, and they don't want to expand it beyond like what the average person really could comprehend, because if all of a sudden just a random line just drops like, oh yeah, the Caesar's Legion was crushed at Hoover Dam, and then nothing else comes of it, the average person will be like, whoa, what was that, what does that mean?
Right. Yeah. So what are all these little bits? Like, why did you mention this and this and this and this monster and this faction and this part? Like, yeah.
Because there's so much in this actual in the storyline of Fallout that it can that you, the creators could put all this different information in, but never have any real payoff for it, though, because it's just going to be dead ends because, you know, it's a single season of a TV show. You're not going to be able to fit the entire chronological events of Fallout into a single season, in my opinion.
So you think they're going to avoid even mentioning the Legion at all? They're just going to they're just not going to mention it in the first season. It's just not going to come up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be purely focused on building the world around the Boneyard, what remains of the Boneyard, really, and Maximus and Lucy's adventure.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the scale is going to be fairly zoomed in. But that doesn't mean, in my mind, that you might not have an NPC, like a side character in the background, or like a news article or something that mentions like, the Legion's final army surrenders, blah, 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 something like that. Just kind of as like fan service to make people go, oh, wait, the Legion, by this point in the future, the Legion's gone. Oh, interesting. What happened?
I can see that happening, but it's also Bethesda that we're talking about. And so they're going to, since the NCR and Legion were created by Black Isle Studios that then became Obsidian, I doubt really that Bethesda is going to condone the mentioning of them. Because even though it is by far the most popular of the Fallout titles, I think that it's going to be that God Howard probably put into place that we want to focus on what the storyline that we have created.
Maybe they
want to kind of rewrite the story that would happen on the West Coast into what Bethesda thinks it should have been.
Well, then,
and this is
just playing devil's advocate, then wouldn't it be a smart thing to just put a pin in it and just say Legion's gone, moving on, rather than leaving it open?
Maybe it would be, but also then again, it's also a bunch of writers in Hollywood who may or may not have the best understanding of the actual world itself, and it's may either not want to touch it, or going along with yours could touch it too much and completely fumble it. And so it's either or in my mind, but I'm kind of leaning on the side of I hope they don't touch it until season two, maybe.
Yeah, I got you. Saint, you got your hand up. What are your thoughts on this one?
Kind of in line with Nova, like from one perspective, I think just from writing, especially for a television show or for, you know, something that's, you know, being done like that, throwing too many pieces in, throwing any too many story leads, I think would just confuse an audience it's not just, you know, folks who enjoy the game series, it's going to be folks who are just looking for something to watch, who are going to be like, what is that thing? I mean, you might already be confusing them a lot with the vaults and everything else such as that. There's a lot that's already going to have to be explained.
Right.
And I'm also, this is the sort of pessimist to me about Bethesda writing. I don't think they'd be above retconning certain things out of the series. I mean, it sounds bad of it.
I was trying to say it in a very polite way.
Exactly. Like I look at the stuff like the shady, like how they displayed the Shady Sands scene in the trailer, and I'm like, well, that's not what Shady Sands looks like, you know.
Well, and according to the canon. So I have a theory about that. Real quick, just a side theory. I don't want to railroad this because we definitely have more things to get to. But I have a theory that sign we see of Shady Sands is pre-war. Shady Sands that we know from Fallout 1 and 2 was founded post-war, you know, 100 years later or whatever. I'm thinking there's a suburb of LA that was originally called Shady Sands. And that's the remnants of the suburb that was inspiration for the name for the new settlement that was founded 100 years later. It's not the same Shady Sands, it's the same name. That's my theory, because it appears like it's closer to the city, just like it would be like a suburb that got bombed or blown up or something, right? So anyway, just a side note there. I could be completely wrong about this. Maybe it is the same Shady Sands and they just changed its location slightly. I don't know. But yeah, who knows? Who knows? They might be retconning stuff, or they might be making really smart putting little Easter eggs and things and explaining things in a little bit more detail, you know?
Like I said, I'd love for that to, both of those things to be completely true. That's just my two cents on the situation.
Yeah, I got you. But most of you think that we will find out what happens to Kaiser's. I always want to say Caesar because it's the way my brain reads it. Kaiser's Legion. Anyone want to chime in about that one real quick? Maverick, I see you're unmuted.
I will. Yes. This, I feel like it would be more of a reference and more like a thing in passing. And I don't feel like that, because I agree with everything that the no people are saying. It'd be too much. From a writer's standpoint and everything, I feel like it would be more of a reference. And not
just a
so
quick
much
reference, but not a lot of detail.
Full-blown episode thing.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. But you think there will be a reference. It'll
be
like
going
a minor thing.
Going to the fans.
Right, right. Yeah, it makes sense. It would be nice to have at least some reference to it. You know, like maybe the war is just still going, but it just isn't over in the LA area. And so we don't see it in the show, but people know about it because it's like off in the distance, right? And that could be a quick little reference, right? I get that. All right, let's move on to question five before we take our mid. We haven't even had the mid break yet. We'll try to get through this one real quick because you are unanimous in this one. The question is, will there be any mention of the Enclave? Some of you don't think Legion will be mentioned. We won't find out what goes on with Legion, but it looks like all of you think that the Enclave will be mentioned. Now, is that because you think the Enclave might be involved in this in some way, even though we haven't seen any evidence of that? Who has thoughts on this one? I see Darth Odin's hand. Darth Odin, what do you think?
I definitely think the Enclave is involved, and I definitely think they're going to be mentioned.
Okay, just because they're a fan favorite or because it would make for a good story?
They've been a big baddie for like almost the entire franchise.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely one of the core like main factions that keep showing up, right? So, all right. So that's your thoughts, is that they're definitely going to be there. Dean, what do you think?
I think it could actually just be like a season end sort of a thing. Right now, I have no idea what the story actually is. Like,
yeah.
Based on the trailers, I'm like, I've really got no clue. But maybe somewhere around, if they're going to be put in, it's going to be around maybe episode 3-ish. If not, it could just be a total outro thing that no one will get until you watch your 22-minute YouTube video about
yeah.
the ending of Fallout series, you know?
Yeah, well, the question is there going to be any mention? So it could be a subtle thing. It could be like, maybe this isn't the main plot point of the season, but there's somebody who was an ex-Enclave member living in the town, and there's a little
maybe
mention of it.
Maybe, good call.
Yeah. Anyone else want to chime in? Pumpkin?
Sorry,
I saw Pumpkin unmuted first. Why don't we start with Pumpkin? I know everyone has thoughts on this, but Pumpkin, kick us off.
I actually totally agree with Dean. With it could be a season ending, and I feel like it would be a really good like reveal.
Especially the reveal being that the Enclave is behind something more than we knew,
or they find like a location, and then it's just the ending shows them opening a door, and then it pans, and you just see the big E on the wall.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Silas?
Yeah, I feel like that would be really cool.
Yeah, Silas, what were your thoughts?
I think that it might be more of just a side mention, because in my head, it's something that the ghoul will say. He'll be like, oh, back in the old world, there's, you know, an elite bit of politicians. And I think that they may have known about this beforehand, and they have countermeasures in theirs, and I'm sure they're still waltzing around. I think it won't be a mentioned by name type of thing, but like their background characters that he may have seen, but he doesn't have the Enclave.
Right. You know? He just knows that shady politicians and people pulling the strings were behind something, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's an interesting idea. Maverick, did you want to chime in on this one too?
So basically everyone hit it on the nail for me. I think it'd make a great cliffhanger for the end of a season after defeating what you thought was the big bad guy. It turns out it wasn't. There's always someone worse out in the wasteland.
Yeah, bigger fish in the sea. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that mentality that's where I was trying to go with it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, who knows? It could be a thing.
So this is exactly what I said like a year ago, whenever the first kind of mention of it probably like a year ago, probably like 6 months ago or something like that, when we first actually had the first patron chat episode about this, I said I think the Enclave is going to be mentioned at the very end as the real villain behind what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so I feel vindicated.
Yeah, well, hey, it could happen. It could happen. And then you'll be like, hey, I called it.
So, you stole my idea.
Yeah, a bunch of you guys could be like, I called it. All right, cool. Well, we've got five more questions. Actually, six more. We got a bonus question at the end. But six more questions to get through. Let's go thank our patrons, though. So don't go anywhere.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Visit a store today.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. I'll try to make this quick. Thank you to the patrons. Thank you for being here. And welcome to our newest patrons, Datillo and Vibolet. Hopefully I'm pronouncing those correctly. Welcome to the Patreon. I'm so glad that you decided to sign up. And if you are interested in helping to support the show and keep it going, also, it's a really easy way to get ad-free episodes for fairly cheap. Plus, you can sign up for tiers that get you things like t-shirts and stickers and joining us in patron chats and all sorts of fun stuff. So head over to patreon.com/falloutlorecast to go check all that stuff out. And I have to shout out Germinator, who is our sentry bot who gets shout outs every week. Germinator! Thanks for being here, man. And then there's also a new review that came in a little over a week ago. This is from Nemesis449 in the United States, who writes, amazing, riveting series, helps bridge the gaps and have a wider understanding of the Fallout universe. Thank you for that 5-star review. If you decide to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I'll read it out on a future episode of the show. You don't need to listen on Apple Podcasts. You just have to have an Apple account and just look it up and you can do that. You can also rate the show on Spotify or whatever podcast you're listening to this on. All of that stuff is super helpful. And even just sharing the show with your friends. If you're checking out the Fallout TV show, then you're new to the show, new to this podcast, and you want to share it with people you know, that would be amazing. All of that is super helpful. I couldn't do any of this without all of your support. So thanks for being here. All right, let's move on with the rest of the episode.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, we're back. Question four. We've talked about some of these other groups that might show up. What about... What was that?
We're question.
I'm
eight,
sorry. Question six
or seven. I mean,
we're kind of question six. I don't know why I said four. Question six. My brain's like. Mwah. Question six. Will aliens show up or be referenced? Let's see. On the list we have Pumpkin, Odin, Spartan, Silas, and Dean, and Germinator saying yes, and Saint, Lilgreen, Maverick, and Nova saying no. So pretty split, but mostly for the yes. Let's talk about the yes. Why do you think yes, aliens will show up? Who wants to chime in on this one? Dean, I see you're unmuted.
I unmuted. Honestly, I just think it's a reference, and that's that.
Just like a little more. Reference, like a little Easter egg, like a
somewhere. That's gotta be it. Yeah.
Like so and so was abducted by aliens years ago. Yeah, we all know you're crazy. Shut up. Like something like that.
Yeah, maybe so. Some document, something, you know.
Okay.
Just like no bark type of situation.
Yeah.
It'll be there somewhere, surely.
Okay. Let's talk about the no. Who thinks no and why no? Lil Green? I saw Lil's hand. Sorry, Nova. Let's do Lil first.
No. I feel like throwing in the Zaytans is going to be too much for the non-Fallout people. The Fallout world already has enough zany shit. Throwing in aliens...
It's a little bit too far.
Even if it's a little tiny
reference, like a crashed ship that barely peeks out of a rock or something like that.
If we see anything, it's more going to be an Easter egg for the people that know. Like whether it's just seeing a ray gun or maybe a crashed spaceship like we always see them with.
Yeah.
That's all, or like maybe pieces of like a spacesuit that they use. That's it. And like it's only something that like people that are aware of who the Zaytans are will pick it up,
right?
Because there's going to be so much zany crap in this show,
right?
That people are going to be won't know what's going on.
Well, that's why I phrased it the way I said. Will they show up or be referenced? Like it,
okay,
even a tiny little bit. So you're shifting to a yes. So you think there'll be some little Easter egg reference somewhere.
An Easter egg reference, but like that's it.
Okay. All right. Nova, you wanted to chime in too. Nova, and then we'll get to Saint. Nova, what do you think?
I feel like for the same reason why the Legion is not going to be referenced, aliens aren't going to be, because it's going to like push too much into the show and kind of overwhelm the generic audience who, like as we said multiple times, this is not going to be explicitly for the explicitly for the hardcore Fallout fan. This is going to be for the average viewer, tailored to the average viewer who is just on Amazon Prime. It's like, oh, I heard of Fallout before. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it a watch because a few of my friends said it's really good, so I'm going to look at it as well. And all of a sudden, they have, you know, like. I don't think the screenwriters would purposely put in Roman legionaries and aliens together in with power armor and right. the average wastelander as well.
Yeah.
Then it would kind of
and mutant monsters and all the other
and
stuff.
Monsters and ghouls.
Yeah. So you're saying they're not going to overwhelm the audience. And so for that reason, there's not even going to be even a tiny reference to aliens at all.
In the season one,
not in season one.
Two and three. Yeah, not in season one. Season two and three, I would say it would open up the door because it kind of. Like the palette of the average person who watched season one would be more expanded at that point. And so they're going to be like, okay, well, I've seen what the Fall universe is up to this point. I wonder what else is out there. And they're like, oh, well, here's the remnants of Roman legionaries who are in the middle of the United States and who worship a man with brain cancer.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you think they're going to have to prep people for it first. That makes sense.
It has to lay at the red carpet before.
Yeah.
You know, like lay the rep carpet before you really introduce people to the more like wany kind of weird side
zany
of Fallout
stuff. Yeah, like take steps into the pool, but don't dive in the deep end. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm,
all
exactly.
right, Saint, your hand is up as well. Do you have anything else you want to add to the no stance on this?
Not really. I think Nova kind of really hit the nail on the head. It just I think you'd be overwhelming the audience, but just too much. Mm-hmm. At the very, very most, you might see, in the background, that's a gun that looks like it might belong to the Zaytans. But even that, I just don't see it happening. I'm a firm no on that one.
Okay. It sounds like we've got good arguments for both sides. So I guess we're just going to have to see on that one. Pumpkin, we got to keep moving, dude. I know you've got thoughts.
No, you're
but
good. You're good.
Let's keep moving. Let's move on to question 7. This one says, will Lucy and or Magnus being... or Maximus being what seem to be the two main characters aside from the ghoul fight a Deathclaw. So I didn't phrase this one. Will a Deathclaw show up? I'm pretty sure we're going to get some sort of reference to a Deathclaw. Do you think one or both of them will end up fighting a Deathclaw? And everybody put yes, except for Silas. Silas, why no? Why do you think they won't end up fighting a Deathclaw? Do you think it's the sort of thing where like a Deathclaw shows up, but they don't actually end up in combat with it? Like they run away from it or something? Is that where you're going?
That's how I was kind of thinking of it is, I mean, and you mentioned it on a previous episode that, you know, they'll look over and you can see it and they'll be like, nah, no, get out of there. I think that it'll be too much for the conflicts that are going on at the moment. I feel like they'd want to build up to an intense fight like that. You don't want to, you know, start the game and then 5 minutes later, you're already fighting a Deathclaw in full power armor with a minigun.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what if like in the finale episode, there's some sort of big conflict and a Deathclaw hears the conflict and shows up and all of a sudden it's like the Battle of Five Armies or something from The Hobbit, right? Like you've got like the Brotherhood shows up, there's mutants there, and then the NCR is involved, and then all of a sudden a Deathclaw comes out of the forest and everyone's like, holy crap. And then there Lucy and Maximus are a part of it, so they have to fight the Deathclaw. Like, do you think it would work in that context?
No, I think if something like that were to be happening on the last episode, I think throwing in a Deathclaw there would make it a little too congested for
just too much
you to pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, everyone else seems to think that they will end up fighting a Deathclaw. Who wants to explain that a little bit? Nova?
I think like it's going to be a like I feel like it's going to be a losing battle for the main character. Like maybe Lucy joins a caravan and midway through the journey, the caravan gets attacked and half people, like half the other guards get killed by the Deathclaw. She still fights a Deathclaw, mm-hmm. but it that would kind of be a like kind of a representation of how dangerous the wasteland is, because all of a sudden this Deathclaw jumped down a cliff and just slaughtered two people right in front of Lucy, and Lucy just runs away.
Right, right. So this, this still counts as fighting it, even though it's not like mano in mano, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe she fights like two or three shots at it. She sees somebody get decapitated. She's like, nope, I'm out. Bye. I don't want to deal with this. And so she runs away. And that's kind of her introduction to the, how brutal the Wasteland can be.
Yeah. I feel like that's still reasonable. Like this is all within reason. Like it could go one way or the other. And then that kind of straddles the line between fighting or not fighting, right? Who of any of you who said yes, does anyone think that they will actually fight and like kill a Deathclaw? Like there will be an actual, they take the Deathclaw down sort of situation, Maverick?
I feel yes, because I feel like it should, it's a good climax for an episode. It's a good plot point to continue the storyline. You know, knowing that it's in Fallout, you're going to, in the game, you're going to kill a couple Deathclaws in the game anyway. It's sort of there. And mm-hmm. I feel like also it's a good character builder.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big accomplishment if they're able to do it. It's also usually a later game kind of thing to be able to take out, unless it's Fallout 4. Unless you just get power armor and a minigun right at the beginning. But that's true. Maybe they have a situation where they get power armor and a limited amount of bullets and they just barely take it out. And it's like a kind of an homage to 4. That could be a thing, right? I mean, it could go either way. All right, Spartan, you know you haven't chimed in too much. What do you think on this?
No, yeah, I was actually just thinking because, like, obviously we know there's Brotherhood angles to the show. I feel like that would be a really easy way to demonstrate some of the capabilities of the Brotherhood to the non-Fallout viewers. Like maybe like the main characters themselves aren't the ones that fight the Death Call, but maybe the Brotherhood, like a group of Brotherhood members in power armor just obliterate, you know, a Death Claw or something as a group. And that's just how they, you know, they demonstrate part of the Brotherhood's capabilities or like power armor or something of that nature.
Yeah, how powerful power armor actually is. What if Maximus in his power armor takes out a Death Claw and that's why he doesn't have it later on, is because power armor gets damaged in the fight.
Yeah, that could be true too.
That could be a thing, right? All right. These are all really cool concepts. I'm so excited to see the show and find out which of these actually play out. All right, we've got just a few more questions left. This next one's pretty big, so we could do an entire episode about this. Who will be considered the main villain? And the list here, on the list I put the Brotherhood of Steel. Nobody voted for that. The NCR, which Maverick voted for, because we know they're in the series. The Legion, nobody voted for that. Super Mutants / the Master, maybe some remnant of the Master, maybe some part of the Master still survives in some way, or Super Mutants who worked for the Master are involved with something, maybe intelligent Super Mutants, that kind of thing. Nobody voted on that one. Raiders, just Raiders in general, no votes for that. Vault-Tec, Spartan voted for Vault-Tec. The Wasteland itself is just the villain, right? There's no greater villain than just the dangers of the Wasteland. Silas voted for that one. The Enclave, or someone currently or previously associated with the Enclave, got 4 votes. Darth Odin, Lil Green, Dean, and Nova. Then there's 2 more. Someone or something we haven't seen yet, Germinator voted on. And then 3 votes for other, Saint Pumpkin and Dean. Dean has 2 votes on here. And like I said, we could probably take an entire episode to go through all of this. I'm particularly interested in the others or someone we haven't seen before. Who wants to expand on what they think? If it's not one of these groups, and I feel like all of us could probably pretty clearly outline what we think a storyline around any of those specific groups would be like. But what about the something, someone else or other? So either Saint Pumpkin, Dean, or Germinator. Who has Pumpkin? You want to go? What are you thinking?
So, I mean, other and then something, someone or something else could be in the same
category. You could probably choose them both, right?
I feel like they're it would not surprise me if they bring in like a new, totally new group for this. It definitely wouldn't surprise me, especially with it being Southern California.
Yeah, and every time there's a new game, there are new factions and groups that are in the new game, right? So, and they said this is kind of like a new game.
With how Expanse is since the last time we had been to the LA area in the Fallout series, there's a huge chance that there could be just many, many new groups and all that.
Right. So you think it'll be something like that. Dean, what do you think?
Yeah.
So, I just started theorycrafting way too much, but our ghoul is, our ghoul is tasked as a bounty hunter to capture your man. Is kind of what I'm now going with. I'm like, who's he done that for?
Right.
And I'm like, maybe the Enclave. And then the last one, I was like, could you just throw a mind control decklaw from the Enclave in there too? That was a thing in maybe. Fallout 2, right?
Yeah.
You could kill all of those birds with a few stones.
Yep.
Though I feel like they'll actually will. Maybe I should take my name out of that because I really do think they should. They will go with something that's pre-existing.
Okay, so you think maybe it's more likely pre-existing than not?
That's why I voted twice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Germinator, you're also on the list for someone, something we haven't seen yet. What are you thinking?
Yes, I'm going to expand on Dean there because I had more or less the same ideas. Because if he's a bounty hunter, who's he bounty hunting for? Are we going to get something like that questionable dude in the bar in Megaton that then tasks us to blow up Megaton from Tenpenny Tower?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a pretty major part of the game if you really think about it.
Right, or Benny in New Vegas, you know, like
exactly
like that kind of thing. Yeah, it's not a theme that they don't use in the Fallout games for sure.
It's a wild card.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. So I guess we're just going to see because it could be any of these things. So again, I guess we're gonna have to find out. But here, let's get to the last few questions. I think this one's particularly interesting. What will the Metacritic score be for critics, right? This is a scale of 1 or 0 to 100 or whatever. And we've got like, it will be in the 90s or 100, 80s, 70s, 60s, all the way down to, you know, 10s and zeros. And for the most part, you all have very, very positive expectations for critic scores. Everybody voted 70s or higher. We have 4 votes for 70s. We have 5 votes for 80s. We even have Germinator with a vote for at least 90 or higher in the 90s. Germinator, let's go back to you real quick. You think the critics are going to give this a 90 or higher score?
Well, I do have pretty high expectations of it. And I mean, Amazon Studios is a pretty major studio if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can't really afford to mess this up, if you know what I mean.
Right. And you think the critics will recognize this as being quality content that checks all their boxes? They're going to be like, good acting, hopefully. Good stories, good special effects, like all that stuff.
Hopefully.
Okay.
I mean, they spent quite a fair bit of time filming it, so you'd hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. I kind of expected somebody to be a little bit more pessimistic here about the critics, because critics, are sometimes they just like absolutely pan things, even when the audiences love them, right? But most of you are like 70 or higher. Who else wants to chime in? Why do you think it's going to be a high score? Anybody else have thoughts on this one? No other thoughts? Silas, do you have thoughts?
I think that it's going to have high critic scores because Halo had high critic scores. But I know a lot of people who were fans of Halo did not like the TV show. Personally, I liked it. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, there was a lot of debate about what they did with Master Chief and the whole not having the helmet most of the time and all of that stuff. But you think it's going to be similar where the actual fans are going to be like, this is garbage. But the critics and like the average populace is going to be like, no, this is great.
Yeah, because I feel like most of the time whenever the roles are reversed where the fans love it and the critics hate it is huge box office like movies. But I think it will follow in the trend of Halo. And I think Uncharted was the same kind of thing too, with high critic score, low, general viewer score.
Right.
And then I don't think it'll be like The Last of Us, because The Last of Us had high both because, you know, it was executed really well.
Yeah, they stuck very closely to the video game story.
I just think that Fallout fans themselves are a little nitpicky when it comes to certain things.
Yeah, most fandoms on the internet are pretty nitpicky at this point. Like the running joke, the thing I notice all the time just being online is that it feels like if you're a fan of, and it doesn't matter if it's Fallout or Star Wars or Marvel or whatever, if you're a fan of something, there's some percentage of that audience that just hates anything new at all. They just want to crap all over anything new because it's never good enough. It's never like the old stuff, whatever, get off my lawn. It's like everybody who isn't a boomer yet all of a sudden is now a boomer in their attitude when it comes to the things they love the most. It's so weird. So basically that's what you're saying is that'll be the expectation and then the critics are going to love it and all of that. So here, the question 10 goes along the same lines because it's the same question, but it's the user score. And across the board, you all were very, very positive about what you think the critics are going to think, but we have a wide variety for the user score. We have Germinator, who says the users are going to give it a 9.0 to a 10. It's a 10 scale. But then we have Saint over here at thinks it's going to be in the threes. You think the users are going to be really, really picky? Like, and this is not just the fans who say all the crappy things on Twitter all day. This is user score across the board, meaning most people who watch it and who then rate it on Metacritic are going to be not very positive about it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think for probably a multitude of reasons. One of being is that usually a lot of times people only leave reviews when they're upset about something.
That's true. That's a very good point. That's why I mention and incentivize leaving 5-star reviews on a podcast is because to that point, human beings are motivated more to do things when they don't like something than when they do. Even though you might have a very large audience of people out there who are like, I love this show. It doesn't mean they're going to be motivated enough to go on a website and leave a rating. So, I mean, you might have a point there.
That's pretty much it. I mean, there'll probably be some review bombing going on as well, but I think that that first part is going to be a big part of it is that people who are just upset about it being the most inclined to actually leave a review.
Yeah. I mean, that's an unfortunate reality about human nature. So even if most people like it, the people who are actually motivated to leave a review will leave a lower score is kind of the reasoning there. All right. Who else has thoughts about this? Why? What about the critic score being high, the user score being low, or maybe the user score being high also, if that's something you voted for? Who else has thoughts? Anybody else want to chime in on this?
Nova? If I could go?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I feel like the user score is going to be slightly lower than the Metacritic score purely because a lot of, you know, what Silas, was it Silas that was just speaking? Or
yeah,
was it,
that was Silas.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, okay. What Silas just was just saying that a lot, the hardcore fans who are not going to like this. Oh, this is not one of the stories, though. This is brand new. It's not like what we're used to.
Right. Oh, like, Bethesda made it. It has to be garbage. And then they don't watch it, but they rate it anyway.
Yeah, but I'm still rating the sevens, though, because I feel like that it's going to, it's going to still be pretty good, but it's not going to be as good as the critics think it is, though. And so it's going to be, pretty highly rated, but it's not going to be above and beyond expectations. It's going to be kind of the mid-range, like, it's watchable, recommended if you have nothing else to watch. But at the same time, you don't have to watch it, though, because it's not anything amazing.
Right. So you think
kind of be the vibe around it.
Right. So you think specifically the users will be in the sevens range, but the critics will be in the 80s range.
Yes.
So
yes,
they're going to be like a tier above.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. This is, I love the diversity in this and how like there's so many similarities, but yet so many differences on this one. And we've got this like middle range. What if it just gets like nines and 90s across the board? Wouldn't that be crazy? That would be super unexpected. I'm not predicting this, but if it were to happen, that would be amazing. And I think that leads into our bonus question. Question 11 is, and I thought this was interesting because I was like, well, we've talked about the critics, we've talked about the user score, but what about all of you? Do you think you will like the show? And clearly we haven't seen it yet. We're just making predictions based on the trailer and all of that. Everybody has said yes, except for Spartan, who hasn't voted, and Saint, who says no. Saint, you don't think you're going to like the show? Like, so far, I'm assuming what you've seen has made you think, this probably isn't for me.
Pretty much. I haven't I don't think there's barely been any shows that have been adapted from games that I've really been a fan of. I went into Halo with high expectations, and then it let me, unfortunately let me down, which it's fine for some people, it just wasn't for me.
Right. What about Last of Us? Did you watch Last of Us? What did you think about that?
I actually never watched Last of Us. Okay. I've actually never even played it. It's just one of those things that I've kind of slept on, so I've never actually gotten into it.
Yeah.
Neither have I. Yeah, it just hasn't been one of those things. I kind of like The Witcher. It was okay. It was something that I watched with my girlfriend. That was about it.
Right. The first season was really good, and then the rest of it kind of not as good, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to take something from video game to the screen. We're just like taking a book, you know, like taking a book to the screen is a difficult transition.
And it's not even a thing about like Bethesda, right? I like even or Fallout in general. I even like some of the bad Fallout stuff. Like I actually Fallout Brotherhood of Steel on the original Xbox. I like that game. I will say it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The now non-canon stuff, because everyone's like, yeah, no, that's definitely not canon. Yeah. I saw Maverick's Hand next. Maverick, you think you're going to like it. You're on the yes list.
I am on the yes side. And not, and also to go with Saints. Yeah, yes, I am probably going to like it, but I'm also preparing for the worst.
Yeah, kind of hedging because your bets a little bit.
Yeah, because I watched the full second season of Halo, and then I watched the Last of Us, and I'm like, what went wrong with Halo, and then what went so right with The Last of Us?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it is a great, The Last of Us was an amazing show to watch.
In both of those cases, I think you're taking storylines that already exist in the games and you're translating them to the screen. And I would say that The Last of Us did a better one-to-one representation of what was in the games.
No, I agree.
On the screen. I think that's the answer, though. I think that's the solution. I'm not saying you don't agree with that. I think that's the case. In the case of Fallout, they're not adapting one of the stories from the games. They're writing a new story, which I think is wise, which leaves a little bit less pressure in the case of, like, if they were like, oh, we're going to tell the Fallout 3 story again, we would have all these expectations. We'd be like, oh, wait, are they going to cast Liam Neeson as father, like, what, like,
that'd be cool.
But if they didn't, then everyone was gonna be upset. They're like, that's not his voice, you know, like there's a lot of stuff that comes with that, right? Dean, what do you think?
It's quite similar to what you were even saying there. I love the idea that they're basing it like some 14 years I think after Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. And there was some quote about them treating it like another game, so they are instead of trying to remake something, they take all the elements that already existed. So now in a different part of the States, and they just say, here's a new story, but it's also based, has all the other games exist. This is just another game, but in a different media. It's really how I'm looking at it. Those first few trailers made me really kind of put my faith back there as well and said, oh, okay, you actually are treating it maybe in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my response to the most recent trailer is along the same lines as yours, is that like it's got heart. It's got wacky, weird stuff. It's got danger and spooky things and terrible things. It's got a really dark sense of humor. Like a lot of those traits that you see across the Fallout series from the very beginning. And that's why I did an episode recently on how Fallout 1 and 2 are weirder and wackier than people remember. That's one of the complaints, is like, oh, well, Bethesda gets in, everything gets weird and funny and silly or whatever. And it's like, no, it's been like that from the beginning. Like, there are elements of all of those things, you know?
It was about to go real weird, right?
It got even weirder, yeah. From Fallout 1 to 2, it got weird. From Fallout 2 to what they were going to do in Van Buren got even, like, more potentially weird. Like, they were drawing from so many different things. And I think that we see elements of that in the trailers, for sure.
Yeah, and I like that they're kind of not stepping away from that, making it too serious.
Yeah.
In fact, not making it dramatically serious at all. It will have those points, but it's not the focus.
Yeah, it does a little bit of both, you know, and I think that's a good thing. Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Silas, did you have anything you wanted to say about this one?
I am going to like it because as a member of the community, I'm glad to just be included. You know, the fact that they decided that Fallout was the show that they're going to decide to turn into a TV show, I know it's not necessarily like a niche game. However, to me personally, it feels like it is. And I know that, you know, in the long run, it's really not, but it's I'm excited for the fact that something that I'm so interested in and I have always been a fan of gets to become more mainstream, and hopefully without the Fallout 76 effect of people, you know, review bombing it because it didn't play exactly like how they thought it was gonna.
Yeah, hopefully that's not the case as well. I mean, I'm totally fine with just not liking something. Like, there are a lot of things that I'm like, I wish that was better. Oh, I wish the latest Ant-Man movie was better. It wasn't great. You know, like, I root for things, and I'm like, I love Marvel, I love Fallout, I love Star Wars, I love all of these different things, and I really want the best for each thing. And sometimes I'm disappointed, but it doesn't motivate me to go review bomb it. You know, like the people who put the work into it don't need to be review bombed. If anything, they need to just not get your money, and that's the message, right? It's like, well, like if you watch the first episode or two and you're just like, this is not for me, don't watch the rest of the season. Don't hate watch it. Just don't watch it. There's the metrics. They have the metrics. They're going to know everyone fell off at episode two. Well, I guess we didn't do a good job. They'll get the message. Like, you don't need a review bomb. And like, just like, that's what gets me. I won't keep going about that. But thank you, everybody, for being here. I love all the different perspectives. We got to wrap up the episode. Why don't we real quick go through, and if you have something you want to shout out into the world, feel free to share it. Otherwise, thank you so much for being here. Let's start with, go down the list on my screen. Nova, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here. I have a YouTube channel that is Supernova, capital S-U-P-E-R, capital N, zero, capital V, capital A. Look for the Golden Retriever icon. I just wrapped up a YouTube short series on each of the power armors. I'm going to start one on the Resource Wars now, so it's going to be like a 12 short series or something like that. So look forward to that over the next couple of weeks if you do decide to subscribe to me.
Awesome. Yeah, go look for those videos. That sounds like really cool content. Thanks for being here. Pumpkin, got anything you want to share?
Currently, I got nothing going on. Of course, I've mentioned my Twitter, the Pumpkin King. You can also find me on Discord. I ain't got much going on right now.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Dean, you as well? Anything you want to share?
I don't do a lot, to be honest, but at the moment I'm reformatting a lot of people's homebrews for Fallout, the role-playing game, into like a really clean thing. And I'm working on a little bit of a solo supplement. If you're playing that role game, keep an eye out. I'll probably lash something up there.
Yeah.
Finally figure out how to work that in.
That's awesome. I've noticed a lot of people playing Fallout role-playing games and things like that lately. In fact, a lot of people want to do podcasts about them, ask questions on the Discord about it and those kinds of things. So
That's true. They fill in a nice chunk of lore at times.
Yeah, yeah. Pumpkins like me too. That's awesome. Well, thanks for being here. Darth Odin, you got anything you want to share? Anything going on?
I got an anime convention that I'm going to Friday through the Sunday. I'm going to be getting back into Dragon's Dogma 2 later tonight on my Twitch channel, Odin the Hooded One 93.
Nice. Yeah, that's a fun game.
And then it really is. And then if you want to reach out to me over the Discord or over Facebook at Ian. I'm just Ian Hedges on Facebook.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, good luck with your Dragon's Dogma Twitch stream. That sounds awesome. Thanks for being here. Silas, anything you want to share?
I ain't got much going on. I found out that you can download Minecraft on the Steam Deck, so I've been, you know, filling that hyperfixation.
Nice.
But other than that, no, I don't really have anything going on, but I do appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, there's an old Fallout, I guess, mod or whatever for Minecraft that isn't kept up. It doesn't match like the most recent versions of the game. But if you load certain versions, you can still play it or whatever.
I have Minecraft on the Xbox 360 because the Xbox 360 is the best console that has ever existed. And okay. I will not elaborate. And it does have both Skyrim and Fallout with its own texture pack that changes different things. You get to explore the map. It's fun. Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, have fun. Germinator, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad your leg's doing okay.
Yeah, slowly doing better.
You guys know where to find me. Just Germinator basically everywhere. Considering that I have a broken leg, I'm laid up at home in bed. If anyone's ever bored and wants to play games, hit me up.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for being here. Hope you continue to recover. Lil Green, anything you want to... Yeah. Lil Green, anything you want to share?
Not much. Just my typical plug of my photography page on Instagram, lilgreen_photography. Really don't have much going on right now, just because I've been busy with work. So, cool. Yeah. Cool. That's really it for me.
All right. Well, good luck with work. St. Geob, thanks for joining us, by the way. Thanks for being here. Anything you want to share?
No, thanks for having me. No, I'm not much of a content creator. I'm trying to get back into playing Fallout 76. I'm going to give it an honest try this time. Just been busy with work. So, you know, it's kind of just trying to find the time. So I'm on the Discord if anyone wants to hit me up.
Cool. Well, good luck with 76. AK Spartan, I know you've got a podcast.
Yeah. I am. I'm one of the hosts of the Elden Archives, which is the Rocket Club show that covers Elden Ring lore. It's kind of the Elden Ring lore cast. So that is episodes are once a week there. I do that. And then other than that, I've just been playing games. My friends and I actually just started a Discord server because a bunch of us have been getting back into Dead by Daylight the other day. So I've just been doing the podcast and playing different games. I've been playing a lot of Helldivers too. So I've been playing a lot of multiplayer stuff lately, which isn't really like me. I usually play single player stuff.
Yeah. But
it seems like it's in the, that's something's in the water there lately.
Yeah. I go in and out of phases too. Yeah. Cool. Well, go check out the Elden Archives if you're into Elden Ring. It's a good show. Thanks for being here. And then Maverick, you're wrapping it up for us.
Yes. I host a little podcast called the Fallout Roundtable. Me and about five other people. We are live Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch. I have a big thing. This will be unfortunately my last time on a patron chat because I'll be focusing my efforts on other projects that I'm on schedule to keep.
Just too busy. Just too busy making content. Too busy getting stuff out there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I am writing and producing an audio drama.
Nice.
So yeah, this will, unfortunately, will be last time for a long time.
Well, we'll miss you, and I appreciate all the support, and good luck with all the endeavors. That's exciting.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for being here. Go check out Maverick's stuff, Fallout Roundtable. And if you're into Fallout, then why else are you listening to the show? Maybe you should go check that show out, too. But yeah, thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm so interested to see what happens in the TV show. And then we're going to go back through this list, and we're going to see who got the most of these right. And as of right now, I have no idea, because we have a lot of really good arguments for every answer on here. Everybody's kind of thought through it, and it all sounds very reasonable to me. So we're just going to have to see what happens. So thanks for being here. Chat, thank you for joining us for the live show. And everyone listening at home, I hope you enjoy the Fallout TV show. Hope it turns out good. And thanks for being here for the podcast. And I'll be back next week with another regular episode. And then the end of next month, getting back together with our patrons to find out what happens. So have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful rest of your month. Whatever. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.